This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Brian O'Connor will join us from Omaha and talk about Virginia's big shutout win against the SEC East champions yesterday. And they made it look easy, even though they were dodging bullets early, but no problem. The Hoos put a zero on the Vols. Can't spell Vols without V-O-L-S. So there you go. Brian O'Connor coming up in 15 minutes.
You've been sitting on that one a while, have you?
Not really. I'm just excited there's a raccoon loose, and raccoon hats are popular in Tennessee. Just saying, there could be a story within the story. But Tennessee fans, you got nothing to do today. Tennessee fans got nothing to do today. You can hang out with Ryan McGee, and you guys go chase that raccoon down there up there in TD Ameritrade.
A couple of notes here to pass along to you. The longest College World Series game. Let's see. According to Andrew Brooks, our fine producer, who's, by the way, returned after a week off. Nice to have Drew Brooks back just in time for John Rahm. The game yesterday, was that right? Went 4 hours and 51 minutes.
No, that's not right.
No. No. Oh, okay. Sorry. Virginia.
Numbers.
A 3-2 game.
Less than numbers.
Yeah, I'm trying to sort this out. The longest college baseball game played,
however,
in the NCAA NCAA Division I baseball championship was in a regional in Austin, Texas, between Texas and Boston College. Texas, which was the visiting team, it changes in a regional, won the game 3-2 in 25 innings. The game lasted 7 hours and 3 minutes. So this afternoon, Pac is looking for this Pac-12 game between Stanford and Arizona.
Pac-12 loser
to go,
game.
Oh, somewhere. Yeah, Pac-12 loser game to go somewhere along that line right there. Right in that neighborhood would fit you.
No, I don't need it to go 7 hours. If it can get to the four-hour mark, I would accept it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, first pitch will be at 2. If the game goes 4, that gets me to 6. I don't have to fill till 6:40. So, you know, I'll give you a solid 35 minutes from the weekend. Because off campus, this is Monday and Tuesday and Friday this week on radio, we fall in between games. Right. So, you know, it's one of those kind of, hey, you don't know. Packer, you ready? Yeah, I'm good to go. And again, it doesn't matter. When they give me the green light, we go.
It's kind of right in there.
But, you know, to make life a little
it's
bit easier.
Right in there.
I got to go back to the dentist today at 2 to get the permanent crown in today. So that's a 2 o'clock appointment. So I wouldn't mind a little extra inning baseball today between those Pac-12 losers, Stanford and whoever the other one is, Arizona, whatever.
Arizona, yeah. All right, let's get to Virginia's win yesterday. 6-0 shutout of Tennessee. Cavaliers go 3-0 in College World Series openers. They do a great job in the process. Logan Michaels is really the story of the day. 3-for-4, a home run, 2 RBIs. After the game, Kelsey Riggs visited with Logan Michaels to talk about his spectacular day and that moment.
I mean, I knew that I hit it really hard, so I kind of told myself, like, if this doesn't go over the fence, like, then I just don't have any juice. And then I saw it go over the fence, and I just was like, wow, this is, like, it actually went over the fence. And so instantly started thinking about my dad, just to have him be at this game in the College World Series, hit my first home run of the season here, was just a really special moment, so one that I will never forget.
Logan, we heard a lot about your dad's story and being diagnosed with pancreatic cancer 3 years ago, and then just getting to see you play for the first time at Virginia just a few months ago. Just tell us the relationship that you have with him and the inspiration that I'm sure he is to you. What stands out the most?
I think just with him, I mean, with all that he's gone through, just to have the positive attitude and the positive mindset that he has. He looks at all the positives in every situation, even if it's not the greatest situation to be in. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, obviously, the bond we have is something special. I mean, ever since I was a younger kid, he was taking me down to the diamond and pitching to me and stuff like that. So, I mean, just to have him here, there's, like, no words for it, really. I mean, just it's one of those situations that I'm in that is just, I was speechless.
When you see him cheering like he was in that video that you've now probably had time to walk back, what are the feelings like?
Just happiness, happiness, joy. Just that he's so excited. He obviously is a very proud dad, and he knows how much time I've put into this game and put in the work. So, yeah, when I see him jumping up and down like that and getting emotional, just it's pure happiness for me to see him like that. And obviously my whole family, just seeing them so happy for me.
To do it on Father's Day, I know, was incredibly special. We talked to him afterwards, and he was waiting to see you. What was that moment like? What did he say to you after the game?
He just said he was so proud of me. I gave him a big, big hug, and just he got a little bit of emotional. I got a little bit emotional. And so, no, it was just super nice to give him a big hug. And I haven't seen him for a few weeks. And so just to be able to give him a big hug and put on a nice show for him for Father's Day was a great day for me and my family.
I've read some articles with your dad talking about how he takes in every moment now ever since the diagnosis. That ball is going to be a reminder of the moment that you guys all experienced together. A little girl came over and brought it to him. Where will the ball go, and what is it going
to have that? Knowing him, it'll be somewhere right smack dab in the middle of our house. He'll probably sleep with it, honestly. It'll probably sit right where he could see it when he's in bed. So, I mean, definitely a special thing for him just to be able to get the ball. And, I mean, obviously very thankful for that little girl to give the ball to him. I mean, that's pretty awesome just that he was able to get that. So, yeah.
Can anyone top that Father's Day gift?
Oof. I mean, I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. It's good. I mean, it's going to have to be a really good Father's Day gift if it's going to beat it.
Hmm. Such an incredibly cool moment.
That's right. Great.
Father, son, Father's Day, home run, who's take care of business. And on top of that, Kelsey Riggs needs to return the Larry Penley National Championship golf blazer. She needs to return that when she's done out there in Omaha.
I think we're going to catch up with Kelsey at some point this week, Pac. So looking forward to that too, by the way. The coverage continues tonight from Omaha, all ACC at 11 o'clock. Kelsey with Mike Rooney, Danny Graves as well. They get they do all of that for us. Live to react to NC State Vanderbilt, get you ready for Virginia, Mississippi State tomorrow. It's the best way to capture all of the ACC action in Omaha. It's all ACC tonight, 11 o'clock, right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, we go live to Omaha and check in with the head coach of the Cavaliers, Brian O'Connor, who got a great effort from Andrew Abbott yesterday in the Cavaliers shutout of the Big Orange. Next on Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Ha! Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. Let's head right on back out to Omaha, Nebraska. That's the place to be this week and next week. Let me emphasize that, and next week. But the head coach of the Virginia Cavaliers joins us, Brian O'Connor. First of all, Coach, we appreciate you getting up early with us, and congratulations. That was one special Father's Day in every sense of the word for the University of Virginia.
Well, it sure was. It was a great day for the Cavaliers, great day for the ACC, and as was the day before for NC State. Really happy for Elliott and the guys, and they're starting their run here as well, and looking forward to watching them tonight. But, it was a special Father's Day for sure, you know. For me, my father was in the stands. All my three children are here, and then, you know, for all of our guys, you know, everybody's family's out here for this wonderful event and one of the great events in college sports. And to come away with a great, convincing victory against Tennessee was was excellent. Just really, really proud of our guys and the way they performed. You know, I told the team guys after, this is our fifth trip to Omaha, and I'll tell you, that was the best opening day performance we have had. I mean, they handled it so calm and poised and just really went out and executed in every facet of the game. It was awesome to see.
You know, Brian, in the first hour today, I started thinking about all these things we've talked about with college baseball this year, the home runs and all the run scoring and things of that nature. And there was some, you know, talk about going to the ballpark, and as big as it was, would the ball still be flying out? And still in your game and in Elliott's game and really in the one last night with Mississippi State, it comes down to arms, doesn't it? It still comes back to guys throwing strikes and learning how to handle traffic on the bases. And I thought Andrew Abbott was sensational for you yesterday, not as much in striking guys out, where he did what hadn't been done by an ACC player in the World Series since, you know, Brad Rigby in 1994 for Georgia Tech. But I thought with runners on yesterday, he and your defense were superb.
Well, you're exactly right. You have to have the elite arms here in Omaha to win, because everybody is so extremely talented. So you got to throw strikes. It's got to be really good stuff, which Abbott had and Wyatt had at the end of the game. And then it comes down to great defense. You know, some of the plays we made up the middle, a couple of the plays that Nick Kent made, you know, the double play that he flipped to Cody A, the ground ball up the middle to end the inning, just one after another. And then Abbott's ability to take his game to an elite level when the pressure's on. I mean, the first inning, first and third, no outs, and for him to be able to pitch out of it and was just great. And that's what big time guys do when they do it on this kind of stage.
Coach, that's where I was going to go with you. You know, we can talk about scoring runs and all that stuff, but I thought your team set the tone in the very first inning. I mean, Tennessee's been banging it, 16 home runs in their five postseason games, all at home. Now you get in the big ballpark. They got them on the corners. There's nobody out. Everybody's going to be a little nervous. I don't care who you are. First inning, that's always going to be the case. And you get out of the inning, and Tennessee goes 0-4 at the plate with runners at third base with less than two outs, 0-8 for the game. To me, I think you kind of set the tone, and maybe in some respects, it probably maybe, and again, you tell us, put your team at ease that, hey, all right, we dodged a bullet. Now let's go play, right? Let's go play baseball.
Well, it sure did. I'll tell you, you know, it's that thing called momentum, you know, and they had it. You get first and third, nobody out, and then you pitch out of it, and all of a sudden it swings back. And I can tell you, you feel as an offense like, oh my gosh, we just missed on a great opportunity. And that's tough. That's tough to recover from. And when it happens a couple of times in the game, geez, you just feel like, you know, if we don't cash in on these opportunities, they might not come again. And so, you know, it's just big that we pitched out of a couple of those jams, and it's tough when you don't capitalize them. And we did late in the game. You know, we had opportunities when we had the runners in scoring position in the big inning, and, you know, we just kept knocking guys in and expanding that lead and extending that lead to give ourselves some breathing room against a club that we knew had a very, very high-powered offense.
How much of it has stayed the same in terms of your preparation, and now that you're out there, how important is it to kind of have that routine together for, like, today, an off day, and go through a workout and do all those type things, but yet kind of keep the momentum, keep the confidence going with your ball club?
Well, routine's important. It is for throughout the whole year. But we've been on a very, very consistent routine really since the ACC tournament. You know, up fairly early in the morning, team breakfast. If it's not a game, it's a workout, you know, and trying to keep them on a consistent schedule. That gets challenged here in Omaha because there's just so much going on. Everybody's family's in town. They're pulled different ways. But, you know, I spent a lot of time educating our guys before coming out here and while we're here about how they can manage expectations in this event from their families and their friends, that there'll be time to spend with them. So everybody gets to enjoy the moment. But it's about us winning a championship and putting ourselves in the best position. So trying to teach them the pockets of time to take care of their loved ones, but then when do they need to be focused and ready to roll for this team?
How many times did you have to make the trip before you felt like you understood that? And now, 6 years after winning the thing, do you have to kind of have some other guys communicate the importance and value of that to this particular team? Or is it good enough if the coach with 750 wins and a ring stands up there and says it?
Well, it's great if everybody says it. Unfortunately, I've got a couple of staff members, and Kevin McMullen and Matt Kirby, two of my assistants, that, you know, they've been, Kevin's been with me for 18 years, and Matt's been with me for 10. So they help reinforce that. They've been along that journey as well. But I'll tell you, you know, learning first as an assistant coach when I was at Notre Dame and we came to Omaha and played in the World Series, that was a good learn. And then really our first time out here in 2009, it was a little bit overwhelming for me personally, just having all the family here and manage it and help trying to manage it for the kids. And so after those two times, I then just talking to other people and learning, I started to get a real good grasp of, how do you manage the event? How do you manage keeping the players focused when they need to be focused? Because there's a lot of distractions, a lot of great distractions. You know, you walk out of this hotel at the Hilton here, we're right across from the stadium, and there's all these vendors, there's all this fun, there's all these people everywhere, every day and night. And so it's important they find the pockets to enjoy it, but then we got to be ready to roll when it's time to work.
Coach, what's it like rolling out of bed, though, and finally realizing, hey, we're not in an elimination game scenario? I mean, it seems like you guys have been living on edge for a couple of weeks. You probably rolled out of bed and can't believe you're not in Columbia, South Carolina, has won, but now you're not even in an elimination game. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better case scenario.
Oh, finally, dude. Like, really? I was having dinner with my family last night, and I was thinking that same thing, that, geez, you know, here we are after a game, we're having dinner, and we're not facing elimination. I'll tell you what, it feels good. You can just breathe a little bit and say, hey, we have a little bit of wiggle room. But you know, this team, y'all have followed it and y'all have covered it. Their resiliency and the fight that they have them when their back's against the wall is impressive. And you know, we're in a position now that, you know, you got to win the next one. You win the next one, you go 2-0, you get a chance to work out and sit for a couple of days, and you don't play again until Friday. And so it's big one tomorrow night. Mississippi State's loaded up. They're really, really good. They've been to Omaha three times. So, you know, we're going to push everything to the middle of the table tomorrow night to do everything we can to win that game, but hopefully stay in that winner's bracket. If not, you know, if it doesn't happen, then you guys know the toughness this team has, and they'll bounce back for sure.
Brian, here's the other thing to back up on that. You're going to give Griff McGarry the ball, who's been great in the postseason. I know that. But Scott Foxhall is the pitching coach at Mississippi State, who's a former Elliott Avin assistant at NC State. And I don't have to tell you, you're going to know a little bit about them. The scouting preparation, the scouting process here, and watching a little bit of tape, probably pretty valuable today, right?
It is, for sure. I got up early this morning and was watching a lot of Mississippi State stuff. And Scott Foxhall is a great, great pitching coach. He's doing a terrific job and down there. And so, you know, they got a really talented club. They got good power arms on the mound. They got some really athletic position players, hit home runs, remind me of Tennessee from a home run standpoint. Some good athletes are playing with a ton of energy and momentum. And so, you know, it'll be, we'll spend the rest of the day and tomorrow morning figuring out the game plan. But I will tell you guys that this time of the year, you know, you do spend the necessary time evaluating your opponent and putting together a game plan. But when you get to this point is about what you do. You know, it's about, does your team, you know, execute? Do they play up to their capability? And I'm just a big believer that when you get to this point in time, you go with your guys' strengths. You go with your club's strengths. I think a lot of times people make mistakes of deviating from that and trying to do something different than they've done all year. So we'll stick to good Virginia baseball, no matter what the situation is.
Coach, I think that was proven out this weekend, given the fact that the two teams that were unseeded are sitting here in the winner's bracket, and teams seeded 2, 3, and 5 nationally are playing for their lives. And that's baseball. And you know what? You got to be playing your best baseball at the right time. And I don't think there's any doubt that from an ACC perspective, obviously Virginia and NC State, I think you guys are playing your best ball of the year right now when it matters the most.
No question. And the NC State is, tell you what, what a great offensive club that they have, and really a great weapon in Justice at the end of the game. And we're playing our best as well. You know, this is the kind of offensive team, guys, that I believe starting getting to the start of the year that I believed we'd have, that we're showing that off kind of offensive club, a little bit of power, you know, putting the ball in play, you know, just executing everything that we do. I think we're at our best in that area, and the way our pitching has been executing has been quite impressive. So this is the club that we thought we'd had. You know, it's just taken several months to get them there.
Well, it's in some ways, I guess, been worth the wait. That's why we wish you all the best tomorrow night against the Bulldogs, 7 o'clock on ESPN2. Look forward to catching up. Be well, and enjoy it as much as you can, Coach.
We will, for sure. It's great being in Omaha, guys. Thank you.
Hey, Coach, I hope you're staying in Omaha as long as the one in Columbia. That'd be terrific, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. A 2 week stay means a championship.
That's exactly right.
Hey, Brian, I think that South Carolina thing is only going to hit home when the W-2 shows up at the end of the year for state taxes. You were there so long. Otherwise, I think you're in good shape.
Hey, let me tell you something, brother. I would rather be paying the state taxes in South Carolina than Virginia. I think the rate's a little bit better in South Carolina. So we'll go with that.
Be good. Best of luck.
Take care, Coach. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Brian O'Connor, head coach of the Cavaliers, 750 wins and a big one yesterday. Shuts out Tennessee to advance into the winner's bracket at the College World Series. Always great to have him with us. We appreciate his time. Sit tight when we come back. Two-a-days. We'll talk Wolfpack football with Joe Giglio. And, yes, we're going to get some baseball in there, too, with the co-host of the OG from 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. Joe Giglio joins us next. We'll talk Wolfpack football and a scratch on Elliott Avent and the baseball team as well after this on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. You are watching Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
There's a little brother Fuller right there. Enjoyed him a little Lexington barbecue this weekend. Who doesn't?
Great.
Who doesn't?
Special right. Father's Day treat for Fuller, brother Fuller.
Yeah. I made a little road trip up there to Lexington. Got some barbecue. Man, is it good. Gosh. They figured it out. Beautiful stuff. All right, it's time to bring on Joe Giglio. We have a lot to talk about. Not only does NC State baseball rocking and rolling, today's part of our two-a-days. We did a little North Carolina earlier in football, do a little NC State football. Tomorrow we'll finish it off at Clemson and Miami. But there is Joe Giglio live and in person. And, Joe, I got to give you credit because when we first started doing interviews with you, we always had you booked like at 7:30, 8 o'clock. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But, man, you have mastered the 9:30 slot. And when you get the 9:30 slot, you are somebody. So congratulations on that front.
When Josh texted me yesterday, and I looked at the time, and I go, Packer's never going to forgive me for that one time, is he? Nope. Nope. Sleeping once during a pandemic.
That's it. No. Yeah. No. Got to be ready to go.
No.
Got to be ready to roll.
Got to be ready to ride. Let's start with baseball here. We'll get to the football. You wrote a piece about Elliott Avent at WRELsportsfan.com a couple of weeks ago, and triumph over tragedy, if you will. And then the death of George Tarantini, his dad, all the things that have kind of happened to him during the pandemic and so on. NC State's performance in Omaha in game one kind of shows you who they are. Joe, I mean, that baseball team is built on a lot of things, but it's really built on the work of what Elliott Avin has done in the 20-odd years he's been there.
Yeah, sometimes we give coaches too much credit, right? And we obviously give them too much blame when they lose. But this team and the confidence that they played with, not only in Saturday's win over Stanford, but Mark and Wes to win after losing 21-2 in game one of the Super Regionals against Arkansas, that showed you the resiliency that Elliott has built into that program and the type of players that he recruits, obviously.
You know, the other thing, Joe, that's been cool about State is you don't know who's going to beat you, right? I mean, they are playing with so much confidence that literally anybody in the lineup can give you kind of what Johnny did on Saturday. He gives you 3 for 4, sets the stage with a home run. You can't get him off the base. I mean, just terrific. And NC State seems to be hitting on every cylinder. And when you go to Ruston, Louisiana, and win a regional in a tough location, when you go to Fayetteville and do something nobody in the SEC figured out, and that is beat Arkansas in a series, I just got to figure, if you're Elliott Avin, whatever it is, whatever that mojo is, man, you just hope it rolls for about another week and a half, 2 weeks, because this team is certainly capable of winning the national championship.
That and the bullpen pitching pack. We saw it with Evan Justice, and we'll probably see Chris Billiman tonight. The relievers have been nothing short of spectacular. But you're right, on the hitting side, you get Jose Torres hits basically a walk-off home run in the ninth against Arkansas. And then Johnny Butler, you know, I wrote after Saturday's win, the 2013 team, which was the only one that Elliott had been to Omaha with, had two huge stars in Trey Turner and Carlos Rodon. This team doesn't have that wattage that that team did, but you look at it and you look at the way that it's built 1 through 9, and like I mentioned, that bullpen, not to shortchange Reed Johnston, who, you know, hats off to that kid. We talk about resiliency. He started that 21-2 game against Arkansas, and for him to come back and pitch the way that he did against Saturday in Omaha really was outstanding.
What do you expect against Vanderbilt tonight, Joe? I mean, same deal. I mean, they'll be the home team tonight. How do you think they handle that moment?
Yeah. I hate myself for this because it's 2013. It's the same scenario, right? UCLA was the best team in that tournament. If NC State wasn't, then UCLA was. They had two aces. Vanderbilt has two aces. This is the same winner's bracket game. It's almost the same scenario. And now, can you get the Jack Leiter is the big question. Obviously, in 2013, NC State couldn't get to UCLA studs. I hope they do it tonight against, if not the best pitcher in the tournament, the second best, because Kumar Rocker would be the best. Vanderbilt, yeah, Obviously just so stacked on that side, and they have the experience and the championship pedigree. But huge moment for NC State tonight against a Vanderbilt team that obviously believes it can win as well.
See, I think – listen – we'll get to football here in a second. But I think the fact that NC State beat Kevin Copps at Arkansas helps them tonight. I think just the mentality of, hey, we know there's a lot of great players here. But you know what? We beat the guy who just won the Dick Howser Award as the best player in baseball. We went to a place that nobody has figured out in Arkansas and did that. So I think tonight, yeah, Vanderbilt, are they great? Yes, they are. Defending champs, they got that DNA. Is Leiter going to be a Major League Baseball star? Yes, he is. But I think they've kind of been there, done that. So I don't think it's going to one of those we're in awe deals. Let's just go play baseball. And I think NC State's in a good spot. Hey, they've already, you know, they took care of Alabama in the tournament. They eliminated Arkansas. Now, again, they get a chance to jump on another SEC team. It's all been matched up pretty well for the Wolfpack during this run.
Yeah, they've knocked out the SEC Pitcher of the Year and the Pac-12. Well, not they beat the SEC Pitcher of the Year and the Pac-12 Pitcher of the Year
right. In
consecutive games. So they're certainly not scared. Whatever cares they have left were left in Charlotte in the 1-0 loss to Duke in the championship game. So another point of resiliency for Elliott this year for a team that started 1-8 in the league.
Yeah, Commodores and Wolfpack, 7 o'clock tonight, by the way, from Omaha over on ESPN. Let's flip the script to football, because I'm kind of counting on Dave Doran being at TD Ameritrade tonight to watch his buddy coach the Wolfpack along with all the other luminaries from NC State, including David Thompson at the ball game the other day. I mean, NC State, they've done a heck of a job getting people out to Nebraska. If you were going to pick them right now, Joe, in the Atlantic behind Clemson, would you make NC State second?
Why not, right? And this would be this would be a year where they could actually they can contend in the Atlantic Division. I think. Look, Clemson is still the favorite. They're still they still have more talent than anybody else. But what you saw in the championship game last year was, I believe, the first kind of tearing apart of the fabric of Clemson football. Has Dabo recruited well enough to rebuild that fabric? Certainly. But if you're going to catch them, just like in 2017, this is the type of year to catch them. And Dave Doran has actually pointed to this year with his two recruiting classes that are now, or under normal circumstances, would be juniors and seniors. Thanks, NCAA, for ruining that forever. Would be a year that they could catch him this year when they knew Trevor Lawrence would be gone. So this is a year for NC State, as I like to say, when the sun is shining, you have to make hay. Unfortunately for NC State, that pattern has been they have not made any hay. That the sun has set on them in years like this, 2010, 02, 03. I could continue if you'd like, but I think you get the point. So this is the year where you have so many players back that you have to hit your home run while you can.
Before you get to Clemson late September, I'm going to go to a game before that. And I think we're going to find out a lot about NC State in Stark Vegas. You go to an SEC venue, and not that Mississippi State's a world beater, but, you know, Leach will have some guys and they'll be more than competitive with all the cowbells down there. But to do it on the road, where, quite frankly, NC State hasn't been great, that is going to tell me everything I need to know about the Wolfpack early. Before we get to Clemson going to Carter-Finley in later September, that game to Stark Vegas, I think, is the first telltale sign of who is NC State. Because they're going to fly under the radar with the hype. Their brothers in light blue are going to get all the love in the summer and the fall. And NC State is going to take all this experience and feel good about themselves to start Vegas in the SEC venue, second week of the year. And they have a chance that weekend, in my opinion, to make some noise. To go, hey, guess what? We're going to be a problem. Or to do the exact opposite. Guess what? We're not ready for that yet. So I don't know where that goes. But to me, that when I look at that schedule, that's the one I circle and go, okay, NC State, you get a chance to wake up America when you go to Stark Vegas. Am I crazy or not on that show?
No, you're absolutely right, Pack, and I'll make the joke that your friends on the SEC Network can't. When you play Mike Leach that early in the season, his players haven't quit on him yet, so that's a very dangerous trip for NC State. We saw what Mississippi State did to LSU in week one last year, and then you saw what happened at Mississippi State by the end of the season. There is a pattern with Mike Leach. When you get them early, you're going to get their best shot. It's a pivotal game for NC State. And then, of course, with NC State, when you talk about the schedule, everyone wants to talk about Clemson. It's at home. It's early. And then late, Carolina is the closer, also at home. But to me, and this Wes will know exactly where I'm going here, the two biggest games on their schedule in terms of the ultimate success for NC State season will be the trips to Boston College and Wake Forest. This will be the fifth time that Dave Doran makes those two trips in the same season. Only once has he swept those games.
Ooh, Gilio with some research.
That was a good one.
Wow. Okay. Here, I want to. We're going to hear a lot about Bam Knight in July. Okay. We're going to go to Charlotte for a couple days, and there's going to be a lot of love for Bam Knight. And rightly so. He's as talented as it gets. But, Joe, when Roddy and I finished with the spring game up there, I was pretty excited about Devin Leary. I was excited about who they have at wide receiver besides Emeka Emezi and Devin Carter, right? They've got plenty of guys. They got plenty of guys at running back. I kind of think the offensive line finds itself. But here's kind of where I'm going to go with this. Tyler Baker Williams, Drake Thomas, Isaiah Moore, Peyton Wilson. There's going to be guys whose names emerge on the defensive side that I think are going to be real, real playmakers and determine the overall success of their season. Do you agree?
Yeah, so two big keys for NC State. You have Peyton Wilson, who missed two games last year, the Kentucky game, the Virginia Tech game, and all of those players you mentioned are certainly important. But in those two games, NC State was lost without Peyton Wilson. So his health and him being on the field and being smart is huge. And speaking of being smart, you have Tanner Engel. You might have just shown a picture of him there. Yeah. But he has to avoid the big mistakes, And at this point, they're not mistakes. They're intentional errors. You can't hit that way anymore. You're not Ronnie Lott. It's not 1986. You have to understand how the game is called, and you have to understand your value to the defense. When Tanner Engel and Peyton Wilson are on the field together, NC State has a good enough defense to win the Atlantic Division. They have to understand that. This isn't like, hey, we're playing for the Sun Bowl anymore. This is your chance. The door is open. Walk through the door.
What are the crazy odds that we could, this time next week, be talking about NC State, Mississippi State for a national championship? And we could be talking in baseball. And we could be talking about NC State and Mississippi State in early September being a tone setter for a football season. Kind of strange, but it could happen.
Let's hope it goes better than the Belk Bowl, where NC State showed up in their New Mexico State uniforms and Matt Canada forgot that Jalen Samuels was on the roster. Poor Jalen Samuels. He's on the Steelers now. And Matt Canada somehow falls backwards into becoming the offensive coordinator of the Steelers. I got to send him my yellow pads to remind him that he's on the team.
By the way, before you go, could you do something that nobody else has done? Could you reach back and get your Twitter handle and so you can get a
yellow
pad?
Yes. The yellow pad.
Yeah. You're legitimate.
Yeah, the yellow pad.
Was it not?
No, I just want to make sure. There it is.
No, not as eligible.
There it is.
There's the Twitter feed. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. @Gilio_OG.
There you go.
Did you spell Gilio the right way, by the way? Okay, just checking.
I did. Yeah. You might screw that one up, but I won't.
You know, somewhere I think Peter Burns is going to do that now on the SEC network because he's like, boy, that's a really good idea they came up with over there on ACCN. Joe Gilio's all over it. I could see Peter Burns pulling that off right now. No question.
By the way, real quick here, I know you're playing some golf in the offseason. Packer's trying to be re-recruited back into playing after a 24-year break by his former Clemson teammates. Your thoughts on that, Gilio?
I would assume you have an old man game now, so just hit it straight and don't worry when they outdrive you. That's advice I always try to take. I just got destroyed by Scott Wood this week, who doesn't even use a driver. So it was a blow to my ego, but I'm going to try to get over it, and by the end of the summer try to get him back.
I was on a group text yesterday with the Clemson golf team of my era, Dillard Pruitt, Norman Chapman, Julian Taylor, Jim McPhee. And when I was watching the U.S. Open at times yesterday, there was about a 45-minute stretch where I saw shanks, guys hitting balls in the trees, four putts, double bogeys, eights without hitting anything out of bounds. And I'm thinking to myself, I got this game. I think I am about ready. I got that right now. I can roll right out of the bed after 24 years, and I can give you all those shots. Guys hitting. I mean, I saw Bryson DeChambeau hit one up by the empty beer cans with the Stellas, I'm like, I got that shot. I got that shot right now.
Embrace that old man game, Pack. I got faith in you.
Yeah, there you go. I got to tell you this. I'm glad to know that Scott Wood, who knocked down more three-pointers in my presence than most have in ACC play, got a little bit of Gilio's money in his pocket this morning as he wakes up and heads out to work.
Let me tell you, he's as good of a three-point shooter as he was, and he was the best I've ever seen. He's a better putter.
Yeah.
So you figure it out.
Well, listen, happy 20th anniversary. That's the most important thing.
Tell Jess hello.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
I will. Thank you,
tell
guys.
Tell Jessica hello. Congratulations on 20 years of playing up, as they say. Joe Gilio, co-host of the OG, 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, writes at WRALSportsFan.com. It's great stuff, by the way. The story on Elliott Avent is worth your time that he wrote about 10 days ago. Sit tight. When we come back, NC State – Vanderbilt tonight in Omaha, coming up on ESPN at 7 o'clock, and we have got some other things, but don't forget football season, kids, right around the corner. We start our coverage pack wall to wall from the fabulous Westin Hotel in Uptown Charlotte of the ACC football kickoff on Wednesday, July 21st, carries over to Thursday, July 22nd. You will not miss a minute of the Atlantic Coast Conference football kickoff as we get you ready for a huge fall in the ACC. Stay tuned. Final segment of Packer and Durham's Monday, presented by New York Life, is up next. Notes on the Commodores and Pack tonight. and also fans in Tokyo for the Summer Olympics. We'll provide that intel for you next on ACCN.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham presented by New York Life. Final segment of a Monday show. Our first show of the summer of 21. And 1 month from today, is your ACC kickoff from Charlotte. 1 month from today.
Okay.
All right, give you a heads up.
All right. Final two-a-days coming up tomorrow with Miami and Clemson on the docket. Look forward to covering those two schools.
Yeah, especially Clemson after listening to Joe Giglio. Apparently, they've just run out of players down in Death Valley. According to Joe, poor Dabo. Are they going to have a team? Are they going to be any good? I mean, Joe's sounding like Tigers are coming to Raleigh just get their brains beat in. Got no players.
No. Oh,
watch
no.
Out with that.
Oh, no. Okay.
News, breaking okay. news from Joe Giglio on that one. All right.
Also, coverage of tonight's NC State Vanderbilt baseball game, and we'll also preview Virginia and Mississippi State, which is on ESPN2 tomorrow night. ESPN tonight for NC State Vanderbilt, ESPN2, the deuce for Virginia and Mississippi State tomorrow night, both in the winner's bracket at 7 o'clock Eastern time. All right, tonight will be the fifth meeting all time between NC State and Vanderbilt in baseball. The series is tied at 2-2. Last time they played was 9 years ago in the NCAA regional at Raleigh. And after suffering a 9-8 opening round loss, NC State won 6-5 and 9-7 to win the regional. Interesting. The only two wins for NC State came in that regional. So 9 years ago, that's a lot. Vanderbilt's won national championships. NC State's been to the College World Series in 13 since all that happened. So kind of interested tonight to see how it shakes out with the four seed Vanderbilt and NC State. So there's our note on the game. By the way, Virginia won the first ever meeting with Tennessee yesterday.
That's correct.
In baseball.
And yeah. NC State beat Stanford first time since dirt Saturday as well. NC State's also beaten Alabama. They've won the series against Arkansas. So the NC State versus SEC postseason run has been a good one. We'll see what happens tonight. Mm-hmm. Leiter is a great pitcher for Vanderbilt, and NC State has been on a tear. So you don't get to this stage, Wes, without there being really good teams, and teams are feeling good about life. NC State Vandy tonight. Virginia, Mississippi State tomorrow, a pair of ACC-SEC showdowns. And again, you got a loser-leave-town match this afternoon with Stanford in Arizona. And again, tomorrow, shades of orange, burnt and big. One of them's going home tomorrow afternoon. So we'll see what happens with Tennessee and Texas. Well, I tell you what, though, that's a 2-3 national seed loser-leave-town match tomorrow afternoon. So these unseeded teams from the ACC – sitting there laughing all the way to the bank right now with Virginia and NC State. So it's been a great, great weekend for the conference, getting off to a tremendous start in Omaha.
And can get better if they were to win tonight and tomorrow night. Right. A note on the summer games in Tokyo. We told you earlier that three Virginia swimmers have made the United States Olympic team in swimming. Only 10,000 domestic spectators are going to be allowed to attend the Tokyo Olympics this summer, Pac. Only 10,000. There were 22,000 at TD Ameritrade yesterday to watch Tennessee, Virginia.
I'm saying.
Man, that's not many folks.
Not going. I'll pass.
All right. Sit tight. Thanks to Adam Lucas, Bennett Conlon, Brian O'Connor, Joe Giglio. See you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life, right here on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.